Well, amen. Has anybody been getting anything out of our Choosing Poverty or Prosperity series? I know I have. It's been really good. This is a study coming out of the book, A Fork in the Road, written by Vidar Lagarde. If you remember Catherine and Vidar, who came last June 2019, they are directors of Rhema Kenya, and they also run Safari Mission in Africa. They're doing marvelous mission work in the Congo and many different areas that have been very deep and dark in the jungle. And they are teaching these very principles to their communities and villages and watching them literally come out of poverty. And it's good to supply resources. There's nothing wrong with feeding the poor. Nothing wrong with that. But how much better is it to teach principles that actually allow the people themselves, those who live in the local community, to come out of poverty so that when the missionaries leave, when those ministries leave the area, those folks can actually live a life that is economically liberating. And they're able to be, as Deuteronomy says, that we can be the lenders instead of the borrowers. So we're going to continue in our series. This is week number 3. Last week, the topic that we really kind of looked into was that God wants you prosperous, period. A lot of times, some of our hang up is just not really fully believing that God's word says what it says. And though we might say, well, yeah, God said that, we don't go to the next thought pattern that says, but he said that for me. He said that to me. And so God wants you prosperous. We looked at the fact that he wants you to be successful in material terms, flourishing financially. This is the life of the believer. It is not supposed to be a fantasy or a dream that we have, and that's all it is. And hopefully we cross our fingers that one day it might reveal itself. See, God is a good God. Do you believe that this morning? He is good. And a lot of folks that we run into, I know I have, I know you may have, will criticize this message. And it's because they haven't seen it in their life. They don't see how this is possible, especially on this level, in this economy, in this community, for this year. How does God even work that way? That was for those people, not for me. And it's the same thing as the argument against divine healing. Well, that was done away with when the disciples died. Well, that was just for them. It didn't work for me. I saw this person die young, and I don't see how that's perfect, that message is for me. I don't see that it's for you. It just doesn't make sense. Do we not hear these arguments? And basically what it comes down to is the human mind trying to wrap itself around something supernatural. What we need to understand is, yes, with finances, hands are a part of the equation. Your hands need to be busy doing something that accomplishes something. Amen. Tithing and giving, that is another part of the equation. But you also need to add into the equation God's overwhelming desire to see you prosper. See, when we do everything we know to do and we obey the word of God and we listen to the Holy Ghost, he takes care of the rest. The part that you thought was impossible, he can handle. He is the God of the impossible. And so we need to basically take our mind out of the equation when we know that we're doing everything we know to do and we're following God's instructions and we're still trying to rack our brain. How is this going to work? This is where we release and we cast our care and we watch him take care of our situation. We looked at some biblical role models. Who were they? David, Solomon. Even in the time of Paul, when he was in prison and Governor Felix kept coming after him, hoping Paul would give him money. You don't do that as a governor, going to the prisoners thinking that they'll give you some finances, hoping that maybe he'll give you some money. Paul was well-to-do. And though he went through situations where he lost everything, he still bounced back because of God's provision and because he knew how to work and he knew how to handle money. And these are not just supernatural and spiritual principles that we're covering. We're covering very practical things that each one of us can do. We looked at historical role models, Thomas Edison, George Mueller, even a store we know as Hobby Lobby. See, there are very basic things, and one of those things, those principles that we looked at last week, is that when people first put God in front and then are interested in blessing others, not only do their needs get met, but God is able to bring exceeding abundance so that not only your home is taken care of, but the community. And look at Thomas Edison specifically. Millions and billions of people who have been blessed because of an invention that I believe, because the Bible says the Holy Spirit gives us witty ideas and inventions, the breakthrough came from God. And that was able to pierce through generation after generation. And look, we still have light bulbs burning today. So today I want to get into creating your future. Anybody like talking about that? We like sitting and dreaming and praying and hoping. How about the fact that when you get married and you first start dating, what do you start talking about? Your dreams. You start talking about your future, your plans. How about when a new baby is born? You start talking about dreams and plans. Maybe you open up a business. You start dreaming and talking about the future of that business. Well, did you know that futures just don't happen on their own? We dream about them, but they don't just plop into our lap. So we're going to look at this today. Do you remember that song, Que Sera, Sera? Anybody remember that song? Diana Day used to sing it. Well, it's the attitude that the events of the future are basically out of your control. So why worry? Why care? Or the other ditch that says, why even try? Why should I take any responsibility for anything that happens to me? It is what it is. Anybody said that before? Well, it is what it is. Right? So we just kind of have to roll with it. Well, to some degree that might be, but we're going to look at how even when events happen that are out of our control, we can take responsibility and watch those things turn around. See, God's thinking is extremely different. He gives us instructions to follow that will greatly impact our futures. Let's look at the children of Israel. We keep coming back to this story, and I believe that there's a ton of lessons that we can learn from when the children of Israel left Egypt under Moses' leadership. See, first of all, God provided, didn't he? He sent manna. He sent quail. He saved them from Pharaoh, which was a miracle in and of itself. He led them to the promised land. I mean, look at the Red Sea incident. He led them by cloud. He led them by fire. He brought them right to the brink, the edge of the promised land. But then their future was placed in their hands. They had a report, one of two, that they could believe. We could either take the land or it's impossible. We all know which report they believed. And so what ended up happening is because of their doubt, because of the fact they all decided to swallow the lie that said they could not take the promised land, even though God led them up to their point, the generation that was standing there walked around the wilderness for another 40 years until all of that generation, those who doubted, died. But there were two that had the initial heart of God for their future, Caleb and Joshua. And within the last 40 years, they watched all of their friends, all of their family pass away. All those who decided it was not for them. They came back to the promised land, even in their 80s, and they're like, let's do it. They still had that heart of conquering. What about Joseph? The kid that had the coat of many colors. You know, he had every right to have the attitude of, I don't care. Whatever, just kill me now. What happened to him? Well, he was betrayed by his brothers. He was almost killed. He was thrown into a well. Then he was sold into slavery, thrown into prison because he was falsely accused. But what happened in the end? His faithfulness. He kept the right attitude, controlled his emotions. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that he never had a weak point where he might have been just weeping to himself, going, God, what in the world is going on? We all have that human element, but he remained consistent. See, those with the attitude of not needing to take responsibility for any circumstances around them will never get promoted. Look, I understand this may have happened to me and it's not fair, but God, what can I do? What do you need for me to do? See, Joseph saw that if he would stay faithful to the Lord, God would remain faithful to him. And what ended up happening is that God exalted him out of the prison, out of the pit, and brought him to second in command of the entire kingdom. See, most people cave when things get difficult. I know I have. What is that saying today is, I don't want to adult today. We cave. It's not easy, especially when we feel like it's unfair. It's unfair. Why should I even try? I keep trying for this job and somebody else gets it. This is a passion of mine. This is a dream of mine, but somebody always grabs it before I do. So I'm just going to quit. See, as one of my mentors used to say, when you feel like you're being mistreated, you need to know that the devil's at work behind that. I'm not saying that what was done to you wasn't unfair. It might have been wrong, but the feelings, the emotions, the thought patterns behind that are nothing more than the enemy coming behind you trying to make you feel mistreated, getting you to quit, getting you to try to just, I don't care anymore. Because if he can get you on the back burner and just kind of sit there and wallow and watch everybody else pass you by, you're not doing anything for the kingdom of God. You're definitely not going to fulfill the dreams that God's placed inside of you. So it's easy to dwell on disappointments. I know I have. But that's when bitterness tries to come in. And when you get bitter, that's when you start to get hard towards people and you resent them and you hold on to unforgiveness, and that bitterness will cause you to rot on the inside. And guess what? It will not affect one single person around you. It will just be a slow death that the enemy gets you entrapped into. So, disappointment come, but we have something that we can do. God's given these examples to us to teach us something. It shows us how that even when there were setbacks, these people conquered. It took a while, yeah. Sometimes that's when we want to quit. It's taken too long, Lord. It's taken too long, God. It's not fair. These people, they just wake up in the morning and they've got $1 million in their account. It's just not fair. But you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, what they've dedicated to, what they've sacrificed, the amount of time that they have taken to develop themselves. Remember, that's what we talked about last week. Personal development. See, you don't know how long Caleb and Joshua had to keep themselves stirred up. 40 years? Come on now. 40 years. God told us a long time ago, this is our land. So I don't care what y'all say. We're watching you drop like flies. And we're going to be there again. And when we are there again, God is going to help us conquer that land again. Amen. So there is a way that we can do things in the natural. There's definitely practical principles that we see the world functioning in for us to have success. But there's also a God way. So we need to understand that secular principles alone leave us empty, even though we may have great success in the eyes of the world. Wow, look at their house. Look at how impactful they are. Look at how many cities they reach, how much money they bring in, how large their business is. But they're empty. Why? Because they're missing one element that we were all created for, and that was God. Here's the cool thing, is that even though there are secular principles that work, the only way that you and I are going to have a satisfying, healthy, and peaceful life of success is doing it God's way. And I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes the fast track that we see everybody, it's like an escalator. Remember, did see the in the airports, right? In the airports where the horizontal escalator conveyor belts, they just take you right down the corridor like easy. Right? That's what we see a lot of the world doing. Like, quick, how can we get there quicker? And sometimes God is going to take you on a route that seems like you're deviating in the opposite direction from where everybody else is going. But you need to understand something. He knows more. He knows better. And in the end, you will always end up on top with freedom, without sorrow. And of course, life can be unpredictable, but within the unpredictable, there are things that you and I can control. The biggest hurdle is not giving up. The biggest hurdle is not quitting when it seems like all the chips are down and everything is against you. We have more control over circumstances than we think. We actually can design and invent and create our own futures. Aren't you excited about that? So even when you're sitting here today feeling, or you may be feeling disappointed, you may be feeling frustrated, you may be feeling maybe feeling that it's just too late. I'm just too past my prime. That dream will never be seen. Do not listen to that lie. Remember, Joshua and Caleb were in their 80s, and they conquered the land. So this is not too late for you. What about Abraham? Come on. I don't even need to say anymore. We're supposed to take charge of our own lives. You're supposed to make something good out of it for yourselves and for those around you. See, this is a quote from Vidar himself. It said, if you don't take charge of your future, someone or something else will. And it is that case. I've told this to many people before. What happens when you start a garden? It's clean. You take out all the weeds. You till the ground. You plant the seeds. But if you walk away and never touch it again, what's going to happen? The weeds are going to take over. You're not going to have a crop, and it's going to fall to pieces. All kinds of varmints and animals are going to traipse right through it. They're going to take all the seeds out of the ground. I mean, it's just going to be left for nothing. And when you go to reap the harvest, there's not going to be anything. And you're going to have to start from scratch. What about when you're working out, when you're trying to lose weight? You can do a great day. Go to the gym for 2 hours, eat healthy all day long, and then don't do it again. And what, I mean, we all know what happens. Nothing. Right? So what is this? What are we talking about today? We're talking about the fact that even when disappointment happens, even when there's setbacks, hey, setbacks that might even take you back 10 years, today is not too late. And God has principles and things in the Word of God that instruct us on how we can take control and take a design after his own heart where our futures will fulfill what he has designed for us, his heart for your life. What did God say to Joshua after Moses died? Let's look at Joshua 1:5. It says, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses, and I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. You have to understand the context here. Moses has died. Joshua and Caleb are back at the edge of the promised land. And what is God doing? He's encouraging him. See, he's the voice that says, oh yeah, you can do it. Not only can you do it, but you're more than a conqueror because I'm with you. I'm with you. Verse 7, it says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. So God, we see, instructed Joshua to ensure him good success. He gave it to him. 1, 2, 3. You do these three things and you will have success. We have to kick to the side that we base our lives on what God says. If we do what he says, that it's just going to increase the probability of success. Oh yeah, if I do it God's way, well, it'll be successful, but we need to understand it's not just about a probability that maybe hopefully it might. This is an absolute. You do it my way, oh, you're gonna succeed. And not only just succeed, but surpass anything you could ever imagine. It'll blow your mind. You do it my way and watch what I'm gonna do for you. Number one, what was the first thing he told Joshua? The word of God shall not depart from your mouth. Now, this is huge, because what does James talk about? This little tongue right here might be small, but it can start a huge fire, and it directs your life. So number one, do not allow this word of God to depart, leave your mouth. Yes, speak it, allow it to be released from your mouth, but don't speak anything else. We were just talking yesterday. Kids wanted to complain about this, that, and the other thing. Stop! That does not give glory to God, and it does not bring any kind of joy or hope to the situation. And you say, well, that's just super spiritual. That's just over religious. You start with the kids young, and they will begin to do it in their adult life, and it will not seem so awkward. And I'm just going to say this right now because I know this applies to my life. If speaking the word of God sounds awkward, we're not doing it enough. Your ears need to hear it. And if it's not used to hearing it, it's time to ramp it up. Because God told Joshua, number one, this will lead you, not if, might, maybe, it will lead you to success. Number two, you shall meditate on it day and night. Not thinking about the news, not thinking about everything else. What are we meditating on during the day? What are we meditating on during the night? And we understand, obviously, the Lord knows you've got jobs to do. We've got families to take care of, but what are you muttering to yourself when you're typing on the computer? What are you muttering to yourself when you're changing diapers? What are you muttering to yourself when you see something on the news that doesn't sit well within your heart? You speak scripture. You speak the word. That's what we speak. That's what we meditate on. And so when we meditate, that's what we speak. What we speak is what we meditate on. And we sit in front of it in the morning. We sit in front of it in the evening. And listen, if we would just get serious about this thing, what did God say? You will have success. And then number three, he told Joshua, be careful to do according to some of what is written. No. Most of what is written, all. He said, be careful to do according to all that is written. Well, God, what about the things that make me feel uncomfortable? All. What of the things that I don't agree with? Well, come sit with me and I'll help you understand, but all. All. That doesn't mean that we can just take out all the scriptures we don't understand and only read the scriptures that we like that make us feel good. We've got to get serious about this thing if we really want to see success in our life. And I'm not saying that none of us haven't been doing this. I'm just saying that on a daily basis, this has got to be our routine. I'm speaking the word, I'm meditating on the word, and I'm doing all that is written. Let's look at Psalm 1:1-3. It says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Well, let's read it backwards. If you want to prosper in all you do, what do you start with? Not following the advice of the wicked. Not standing around with sinners. And not joining in with mockers. You say, well, what about evangelism? Well, yeah, we've got to tell them the gospel. But I'm talking about buddying up. I'm talking about really having intimate conversations with those who do not honor God. They're not on the same plane. They're just not. And if you and I are serious about doing what God wants us to do, they're either not going to understand at the least, or they don't want to do that. So they're just not going to come with you. And so what Psalms is saying here, if you want to prosper, then we delight in the law of the Lord. And that's what we put first. See, you can choose to live life passively. And I know we've all had those moments. You can choose to live life passively, allowing circumstances to form your future. Or you can live above those circumstances, ruling and reigning and designing those things the way God wants us to. See, Joshua made sure to lead God's people in the way that he instructed. It says that at the end of Joshua's life, he said in Joshua 23:14, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God has promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. And the reason he could say that at the end of his life to the children of Israel was because Joshua made a point to do all that God instructed. But we need to understand that there is God's way, but we need to keep the right mindset. See, we know that Joshua, the book of Joshua, is known as a book of success, but did you know that the following book of Judges is referred to as a book of failure? Why? Because there was a cycle that happened after Joshua passed away, that the children of Israel were blessed, then they would walk away from God's instructions, then they would fail, and they would be overtaken by neighboring nations that did not serve God. Then they would cry out to the Lord, and in his faithfulness and mercy, he would rescue them, and we would start all over. He would answer, though, in such a way that the instructions were similar, the same. They would bring deliverance, and they would bring peace and prosperity again. Let's look at examples like Gideon. Even though they were in a moment that Israel was captured, they were being oppressed, God had to help him get into the right mindset in order to conquer again. Hebrews 10:38, let's look at that real quick. It says, "But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back." When we face situations that feel disappointing, daunting, discouraging, we want to shrink back, don't we? Because we want to just quit and sit down, and sometimes I want to pout. It's not fair. I just want to pout, and what creeps in is you want to feel sorry for yourself. And then if we're not careful, we want to carry around self-pity and have the victim mentality. And see, that's what Gideon had. Well, you don't understand. I am the least tribe and the least of my family. You don't even want me. But what did God call him? A mighty man of valor. The Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father are going, man, if we're going to get this kid to do anything, we're going to have to work on his thinking. We're going to have to keep boosting him up and building him up and stirring him up. See, when shrinking and coasting is what happens, that's not the lifestyle God wants for his children. We need to have the attitude of always advancing, in pursuit of God's plan for our life, what he has for us. That means generally, and that also means individually. A forward-looking, positive, conquering mindset is both biblical and critical to creating the future that God wants for us. And that is why God had to change Gideon's thinking. Even though you have 300, man, we got this. And you're not even going to have to lift a sword. I just need you in place. I just need you, and then I'm going to take care of the rest. And that's most of the time what he needs from us. Just do what I say, and I'll take care of the rest. No, you don't have to try to figure out beyond that point. Stop it. Turn it off. Put it to bed. God, what do you want me to do? I'll do that. And that's it. And then I'm going to trust you to take care of the rest. See, mindset has a lot to do with success. Let's look at a millionaire, for example. If he were to downsize or she were to downsize to a smaller home, what would happen to that house? They would keep it up, they would make upgrades to it, and they would probably end up selling it for more than what they bought it for. What about somebody who's never handled that kind of money and just kind of lives day by day by day by day? If you were to place them into a million-dollar home, what would happen? They would bring the quality of the house down. And it's not because they're a bad person. It's just because of a mindset that they've never developed. See, everyone influences most of their circumstances and brings them in line with the quality of their own thinking and their own habits. That's why job after job after job, if we don't change our thinking, it's always everybody else's fault. Right? Or it's always this person's problem, or it's always this situation's problem. It's because of us, and we're not changing how we're seeing it. We're not changing our perspective, our thoughts, our renewing our mind and our thinking processes. But if you surround yourself with people whose thinking processes you would like to imitate, you will begin to think the same way they do. One of our pastors has taught us that if you've hit the ceiling of influence in the room that you're in, or your sphere of influence, it's time to change rooms. Which means even though you might seem like the smartest one in the place, it's time to be the dumbest person in the room. Why is that? Because we've got to learn. We need to grow. We need to keep learning so that we can keep growing and influence more people. See, look at the people you want to imitate, how they think, their daily habits, responses to various situations, how they treat their homes, what their day looks like, how they raise their kids, how they approach work. Study them. Emulate their thought processes and their habits. And if you know them, or if you can reach out to start an acquaintance relationship with them, ask questions. Most of the time, people are interested in helping, but they're not interested in holding hands. So if you're interested in growing, show yourself approved. Show yourself ready to go, ready to grow, ready to take whatever they say and chew on it. Don't waste their time, but at the same time, listen to what they're saying and study what they do. And look at, if you're interested in the results that they're living today, their present can be your future if you learn from them. And I'm talking from a natural standpoint. Amen. See, most people live with a hope that things will change for the better, but never change how they think or they act, and their future remains the same. Did you know that this year was created by our thought processes and habits and actions from the last 5? Hello? And how do they know that? Years and years of study. Human study, personality studies, and that kind of thing. Where you are today is a result of the last 5. And this is not about making anybody feel bad. It's about, oh, hey, if I want a future that's better, I can start today and watch it change. And that's why most people live and die with a life that looks very much like their parents and the people that they grew up around. See, because they don't change how they think. They hope that one day the lottery is going to be struck and we're just going to win and it's going to be good from here on out. That is not how it works. Because based on how you've been creating those thought processes and habits and behaviors over the last 5 years will determine what you do with that money today. If I were to hand somebody $1 million, what they do with that money today shows me their normal daily habits from the last 5, that it's normal for them. It's not about the amount of money that changes our lives. It's about our thinking, our actions. Even in hard times, unplanned events, things that are out of our control, our thought processes and attitudes will either shorten or lengthen their duration. We're either going to get out of this quick, or we're going to sit here for a while. So we don't need to look at problems with despair. Stop it. I've had to grab myself. He and I have had to grab each other. Stop it. Quit looking at this situation with despair. Like we're just going to quit, fold up, close shop. We're leaving. Let's do this. I don't want to go any further. We need to face these with confidence. Because even though the world uses these practical principles and they work for them, who do we have on our side? We also have God, who can get you where you need to be in a shorter amount of time if we will do it his way. So we have right thinking that we need to implement. What about right saying? Remember what God instructed Joshua. Thinking is definitely crucial, but your correct thoughts need to be released out of your mouth. Joshua 1:8 says the book of the law needs to always be on your lips. See, that's why when I talk with my kids about dreams, we don't just sit there and write them down. You need to keep the vision in front of you. That's what the Bible says. You need to keep it plain, keep it in front of you so that you know where you're headed. But you also need to talk about it. Why? Because what does the word say? Our faith grows when we hear and hear the word of God. As you speak the word, as you speak about your dreams, as you speak about the things that you're endeavoring, your faith latches onto that. And any time that somebody tells me, and I've had this happen, and I know this has happened for you, but when this happens to me and somebody says, you're not going to be able to do that, you're never going to get that. There is something like Joshua and Caleb that rises up inside of me and says, watch me. It's just a matter of time. I'm writing it down, and I'm talking about it with my family in the home, and they're going to watch and see what God is going to do. Amen. So we need to be thinking scripture so much that it comes out in our daily, natural conversation. See, Joshua and Caleb never allowed those 10 doubters to affect their conviction. Did you know that once they went to the promised land and they surveyed the land and saw the giants, it took them 40 days to get back to camp? So this whole time, what do you think the conversation was about? Oh, we're never going to be able to make it. Can you believe this? What are we going to tell Moses? And these two with themselves going, man, we can do this. They're trying to pump up the rest of them. Like, come on, we can do this. Come on, we can do this. Remember what God told us, guys. Remember what God told us. I know what we're going to tell Moses. We got this. This is a piece of cake. With God on our side, we can do this. So the whole walk back to camp, you got doubters and believers. So many people, including in myself, have missed it by speaking according to what they see and they feel instead of what God has said. I've done it. And it's only been recently, I would say probably in the last 2 or 3 years, that when I am faced with such an impossible situation that lives, physical lives, are on the line, this is where you need to pony up or figure it out a different way. And so what we decided to do as a family is we're going to actually take God at his word. I mean, we teach it to our children. Church aside, we want to be examples for our kids. So we're either going to live this thing out or everything that we've said is just smoke. Doesn't matter. And when they become adults, they're either going to walk with God or walk away from him because of the example they've seen in our home. And so it's either truth or lies. And when we've decided to make his word most important in our conversation, in our thinking, and in our doing, that's when we see the very promises of God show up in this natural realm. We should never wonder why our lives may fall apart or things don't improve when we just say whatever comes across our mind. And I'm even talking about those little words, like you slam your finger on the hammer. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not going to say it from here. But see, it's not about condemnation and nitpicking and splitting hairs. It's about what am I creating with my words? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks anyway. So basically, when you hit that finger with that hammer, what comes out of your mouth has what you've been meditating on, and it's in your heart. And so when we're looking for God's word to show up in our life and our promises and those types of things are coming out of our mouth, it's because we're not meditating. We're not speaking the word. It's not becoming real. It's not becoming solid. It's not becoming concrete. It's not the conviction that we have in our heart. And see, what God is telling Joshua is that if you will not allow this word to depart from your mouth, if that's what you're speaking, if that's what you're doing, if that's what you're meditating on, you will have success. See, change doesn't happen immediately. It happens over time. But we've got to make these small adjustments now so that in a year, in 2 years, in 5 years, and even maybe sooner, as God puts his hand on this situation, you'll begin to see success in the areas that you're not seeing it in right now. So we need to stay persistent. We need to meditate on the word, and we don't need to fall back on old habits. It's very easy to do. We need to keep ourselves stirred up and encouraging one another by seeing you here on Sunday and on Wednesday and continue to build each other up and praying for one another. So not only do we need right meditation, right thinking, we need right saying, but we also need right acting. Most people continue growing in areas they're already strong in. Why? Because it's easy and maybe fun. Most fail because of one area or a few areas that they've never spent time really fixing. See, what if there's a business that's really good at selling their product, but they can't manage employees? They have constant turnover. And it's because of that that they're not doing as well as they would like to, because they have to keep training people and keep training people. So should they go out and improve their sales skills? No, they need to work on managing employees better. How do we work with these people? How do we help them stay? Let's talk about let's talk with our employees to help us educate ourselves in order to learn how they can be happier, how they can stay longer. Let's look at that area. What about a business that might have great, amazing products? They're awesome, but they're struggling with the marketing part of it. So they might have a ton of inventory, and we love the products, but they're not being sold off the shelf. So should they spend time improving the products that they already have? Well, no, that would be silly. What they need to work on is the marketing. How do we get the word out? How do we get somebody on top of the marketing department that's good at what they do? I'm not good at marketing, so I probably shouldn't be doing this. I need to hire somebody. You see what I mean? So a lot of times what happens is where we are weak in, it's an uncomfortable place to go. We have to move past our own education. We have to move past our own comfort level. We have to move past our pride sometimes. And sometimes we have to just face some things that the Lord's been placing on our heart to face that we haven't been wanting to. It's just something we've been avoiding. If a child is good in the area of science, but they're failing in English, we got to focus on English, don't we? If they're failing in math, we got to focus on math. And normally they fight that because they hate it. Right? But in order to bring the grades up, we have to help them understand. And I try to teach my homeschooling children this right now. It's not about the grades. The grades just show me whether or not you fully understand what you're learning. It's time to learn where we are weak so God can bring us to a level playing field. See, the Bible has answers to all the issues of life, but we sometimes highlight on scriptures that are really fun and they feel good to us, ignoring the rest of the word. We need to do all the things that God told Joshua. What about Samson? Anybody remember this guy? Remember Samson? You know, he was a judge that God raised up within the book of Judges. And though the physical strength aspect was not an issue, he had a problem with women. He couldn't get that area in his life under control. He just couldn't. And so what happened was, is Delilah was used of the enemy to come in, and his guard was lowered, and she cut his hair, which is the way that God chose to bring the strength of God to him. And when she cut his hair, he lost all of his strength because he laid his guard down in especially an area that was weak. It felt good. It was comfortable. He just didn't think. And what ended up happening is God redeemed him by using him one last time, but his life was cut short because he did not take the time to develop one area of his life. Let's look at James 1:25. We're going to close with this. It says, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Hallelujah. God promised us 100% success because he greatly desires it more than we do. He's the one that placed that desire in you. Think in line with his word. Say what he said and do everything he told us to. People are going to make fun of you. People are not going to like you. People are going to feel uncomfortable around you. But let me bring you back to the 2 and the 10. The majority won in the argument, but the minority won in the promise. Let me say that again. The majority won in the argument, the minority won in the promise. We are minority as far as the world is concerned, but we win. And I'm not talking about just heaven one day. I'm talking about today. You can have what is in your heart. He promised to give you the desires of your heart because he loves you. And this is not just something to kind of push off. You don't have to be a millionaire to watch God move in your life, to have things your mom and dad never had, to have things your brothers and sisters have never had. You do not need to be on Forbes 500 in order to move influentially in this planet. God will get you there. The Bible says that the gifts that he's given to you are without repentance, which means he's not asking for them back, but he also says that those gifts will make room for you. If we could just play some piano music in the background. I want you to know something about me personally, is that as a kid, I would play piano, I would sing at church, and people would always ask me, why don't you go off and record? Why don't you go off and look for opportunities for you to get out there, have the spotlight? You should fight for that position. You should ask for that solo in the choir. And as a kid, I was just 15, 16 years old, there was something on the inside that would just say, nope, nope, nope. Don't push, don't shove, don't kick that door down. That's not how I work. And he spoke to me as a 16-year-old kid and he said, I will open up an opportunity for you that you will have more than enough time to minister and to sing my praises. This is what he spoke to me. And to perform all the things that you desire to do musically. What am I doing every week? And see, I'm not staying here. I know that God's got more for us to do. But why am I saying this? I'm using this as an example to say that the dream inside of you, that the success that you're yearning for, because I yearn for more. I'm content. I love my family. I love where we are. But I'm not satisfied. I'm not camping out here. I'm still on the move. I'm still learning and growing and advancing. But in your contentment, understand that the stirring on the inside of you is the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, hey, I've got more for you. I've got more for you. And even when he's the only voice speaking those things to you. Remember what Jesus said about releasing your pearls in front of swine. Nobody's going to care about your dream. I'm just going to let you know right now. They care about their own dream. The only people that are going to care for your dream is the people that are of faith and of love and have conquered and pioneered some things. They know what it takes. And it takes the Spirit of God. It takes diligence and it takes grit. It takes just downright grit. Where you're willing to kick everything aside that is trying to keep you discouraged. Kick him in the kneecap if you have to. I've walked out of rooms before when people have nothing but discouraging things to say. Nope. My ear is not your trash can. My heart is set. My heart is committed. And whether it takes me 5 years, 20 years, I will see this thing through. Because I'm not doing this on my own. I'm doing it with him. And when people are there to discourage you, it's because your dream convicts them. See, their heart is not in a position to know that God can redeem the time. Their heart is saying, man, here's somebody who's ambitious. Here's somebody who is probably going to see their dream, and it makes me jealous because I'm not going to see mine. So you need to understand that what comes out of a person's heart is what they believe. And it's probably not against you personally. They might actually have some bitterness towards God themselves. But you stick it out. And most importantly, meditate on the word. Speak nothing but the word. And do everything. Do everything, not 99.9% of it. Do everything that God says, and you will see success. If you're having a trip up in the same area every day, every week, every year, that's the area you need to really focus on and get serious. Say, it's time to get real. Or you're just going to have the same and don't expect to get beyond that point. It's not because God doesn't want to take you beyond that point. It's because we get in the way and we're not willing to submit those areas to Him. But what I'm excited about today is that your future, your success, your dreams can start today. And if you're frustrated, give it to Him. If you're disappointed, give it to Him and let Him heal you and give you fresh vision. So let's stand this morning. Thank you for being here today. I believe that for those of you who have been here in the last 3 weeks, this is just going to be building up and building up and building up. And as we apply these things, let's make changes. Because I love when God shows me where to change. Why? It might be uncomfortable. I might have to get over some things. But why am I excited about when God points out change? It's because I know His heart for me. He wants the best for me. And so if He points something out to me, that means I'm just one step closer. I'm just one tweak closer, one thought closer, and He's getting us there. Amen. Well, if you're here this morning, and we're going to dismiss Facebook, but if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, we want to introduce you to Him. The reason I can talk about this stuff is because of Him. Jesus went before us, and see, the heart of God is that He had a dream for you and me, that He would have a family, and He created us back way beyond this time, back in Adam and Eve's time, and when sin came into the world, His plan was paused. He's like, oh, we got sin in the way. And so what did He do? He sent His son Jesus to be the sacrifice that would bring us back into relationship with Him. But Jesus didn't stay dead. Amen. He died, and then He rose again. And when He rose again, He went to heaven and sits now with the Father. And He has created a seat with Him in heavenly places for us to sit there. And how do we get there? By receiving Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says in Romans 10, 9, and 10, that if we confess our sins and believe that He was raised from the dead, that we will be forgiven. And the Bible also says that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Aren't you glad? We're cleansed from all unrighteousness. And so if you want to be led in prayer to receive Christ this morning, Pastor Aaron and I will be available here up front to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, we are here to pray with you. If you need anything, we're here to pray. So we're going to dismiss our Facebook family this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. If you would like to give your tithes and offerings online, you can do that at destinychurchwnc.com. We love you, and we'll see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Amen. So let's just lift our hands to this morning. Father, we just magnify You, and we love You, and we thank You for Your word today. We thank You, Father, that as we do Your word, as we say Your word, as we meditate on Your word, Father, You promised us great success. And so we love You, Lord, and we ask You, Father, to help us to walk with You closer and closer this week. In Jesus' name, amen.